This podcast is brought to you by DKP & Co. Chartered Accountants. You are listening to FNR Football Nation Radio.
With George Danikian and George Kotsanis on FNR, Football Nation Radio.
2019, new season of the Pioneers is underway. Our first Pioneer is someone quite special. You haven't found a player for me, you've found a referee, G2.
Our first referee ever. And Happy New Year to you.
Well, you know, he should be very accustomed to breaking records and picking up awards. He's done it for all his life.
And getting abused.
We'll hear about some of the stories. But our first Pioneer was born, I think it's the 15th of May, 1943, in Piraeus, in Greece.
Easy for you to say.
Played his junior football at the local football team in Piraeus called Neapolis, which is an amateur side. But he wasn't going to stay in Greece. Something, he's going to tell us, something captured his imagination, perhaps. I don't know. I'm going to throw it out there. Yeah, yeah. But he arrived down under in June of 1961, and lo and behold, he ended up playing soccer for Olympic. Not Panhellenic, but Olympic.
Not your Olympic.
No.
As you know it.
No, not mine. The side was based in Richmond, and he was out there playing, I think, between 67 and 69. So I want to find out, Dennis Futsinas, tell me, when did you stop playing and when did you start refereeing? And did you ever think when you were playing that you were going to end up being a referee?
Good evening, everybody. And thank you very much for inviting me.
You're welcome.
I really feel home here.
You are at home. Anna Venius, who's listening in from Athens, buzzed me a little while ago and said, he's an old friend of the family. Please say hello. So there you go.
Thank you. And thank you, Anna.
There you
and,
go.
And everybody else, yeah.
So we're going live in Athens, are we?
Yeah, we are.
That's good.
Well, that's not unusual for us.
No, this is true. We are worldwide.
Correct,
On the World Wide Web.
Yep, we are.
So you're going to break all the rules, George, or are you just going to...
No. All I was going to say to you was that we should start and take him way back.
Right.
But before we do that, Nico Ignatiadis.
Yes.
Kathy McCallum. Tom, is it Sonsini?
Yes.
Stuart Wolfe, Dale White, Branko Cilina, Bill Murray, Ronnie Sinclair, Philip Diamandaris, who said FIFA ref. Those accolades were near impossible to get. Look forward to hearing what Dennis has to say about his role in making our game great. So that's from Philip and from Craig McKenzie.
Top
two words,
bloke.
Mate. Top bloke.
You know.
So he's got his fans
Australia
already.
If you get top
yes.
bloke.
So Dennis,
Craig, yes.
Welcome.
Well, look, he was born in Piraeus to a very poor family and. The youngest of seven, so pretty
no
much...
No TV, eh?
Not TV nowadays. So,
definitely not.
When my brother decided that, yes, it's time for me to move on and have a life, so came to Australia. It was the best thing I've ever done.
What?
Absolutely.
Why Australia in 61? What do they say to you, Dennis? Go down under.
Okay.
What do they say to you?
Well, my brother arrived in this country here as a migrant, and the government actually sponsored Dennis to come over here. Yes, sponsored because they needed someone to actually take all the law jobs. You see. Anyway, no, seriously.
So it's his fault.
Yes,
it's Dennis's fault.
I came to this country here on Patrice, the big boat, and I have to pay back the government of about £400. I have to pay back that.
You're joking.
Do you still owe them? Or
no.
Hang on. The English came here and they only had to pay £10.
Yeah, my wife, she was one of the ones with a £10.
She's a £10 pom, is she?
Yes, a £10 pom.
Wow.
Anyway, back into my younger days when I arrived here as an 80-year-old, no money, no language, and definitely no skills. So I started.
So you had everything going for you.
Back into my younger days, I started working in a radio. In radio called Astor. It's an Astor. That's the difference. We're back into the 60s.
The old Astor. So you're now doing ads on FNR. Is that how it works?
Anyway, we move on from there. As far as the soccer's concerning, I was never really what I call a very good player. But I enjoyed playing. And the problem I had those days was that going out on Friday and have a good time and find difficult to go up and play on Saturday. And myself and my good friend Ulysses Clockiness and I
Hang on,
before you go any further, is it true, right, that you gave a penalty, you awarded a penalty when you were refereeing in a match that Ulysses Clockiness was playing? I think it was the Ampol Cup game. You awarded a penalty, and what did Ulysses Clockiness do?
Oh, my God. He comes in. You know, the guy comes in late. He picks up and he's taking him down. So I give him a penalty. Go on there and he comes up and give me a kiss on the cheek. Oh, my goodness sake. Now we got an issue here because...
You've got a few issues.
You have an issue.
I honestly thought I gave him a yellow card. Now, up to this day, he tells me that was a red.
Graham Pohl,
yes,
who had that unique... reputation of giving three yellows to get a player off. You're giving players reds when you should be giving yellows.
That's
not what the award-winning referee of 1988 was getting, as far as I know.
But no, seriously, Ulysses and I were very good mates. We used to go out and you know his family, his father and brother and all that. And just to go quickly back into that, actually I took him to work with me one day.
That's not a good idea.
Not a good idea. You know, it only lasted one day.
that long?
One day.
Wow, and look at it. Anyway,
back into refereeing. Refereeing, it's easy. Just referees make it difficult. That's all.
Yeah. You think modern-day referees make it hard?
Modern-day, they have it on the toss, George, honestly. Starting refereeing in my younger days, there was an apprenticeship.
How? Where?
There was an apprenticeship. There was a sort of advertising, we need referees. So down to the soccer house, a six-week course when you go up and, you know, you take the laws of the game and everything else. And then you go up and go through. I could throw, okay. There was not a problem with that. The only problem I had, it was trying to referee after that because playing helped me a lot because playing, you feel for the players. I must tell you that just on my first game, couldn't you believe that? I was given a game, District League. And Fairfield, and there was Regent and Italian team, and I can't remember who the other team was. Anyway, I got my wife.
You took your wife and first game with you.
My first game. Well, I need support. Okay. I need support. and she brought her girlfriend.
Okay. Were you wearing all black as they were in those days?
All black. My word. Anyway.
Da Mavra.
This block here on the game, this little foot, there was a little Italian about 4 foot nothing.
Four foot nothing?
Yes. Right. And my God, he refereed the game for me. Oopside! Tricky! Anyway. Once that I didn't do, he said, "I kill you." I said, "Oh my God, this block here is serious, you know." So he threatened me to kill me, and the game he refereed the game for me. Everything he says, something. Yep. Anyway.
So he terrified into making decisions.
Absolutely. Now at halftime, I said to Claire, the one in the car, I said, "Keep the engine running."
Keep the engine running.
I swear to God, guys. He said, "What?" I said, "Mate, I said I'm not going to finish this game here. So this block's going to kill me." Anyway, I got back into the game and sort of settled down a little bit. The game finished up, and he comes up with three cans of beer.
Fantastic.
I said, "Hey, mate, there you are. Good job.
Good job."
I said, "Take that beer and go away."
Maybe he has anger issues or did.
George, so seriously. Anyway, that was the start. Anyway, going home back, I said to Claire, I said, "That's it, mate. I'm not going to referee again."
You said that or she said that?
No, I said that. I said, "That's it, mate. I'm not going to referee that. You know, rubbish." Anyway, so listen, you never, never start something and not finish it. So give yourself a couple of weeks and see how you go. My next game was Eltham. Eltham in Division 4, all right, and I was given the game. I had an inspector on that, and I thought, okay, this is a little bit different, okay. I start here, and man, you know, free kicks or that. Yeah, the game was good. I come back, and I got a drink at halftime, and said, okay, very good. I finished up, the inspector liked what he saw. He said, that's good. He said, you're very fit, you're very good, and he said, I like the way you're going around, you know,
talking to the players.
I said, okay. That was the start. After that, never thought again. Politics? No way.
I've got a question for you before we go any further. You could speak English by that time, huh?
I was just checking. To this country here, I get correspondence because my English would not exist. A little bit of French, you know, that from the school, you know, that yes, the English was not a problem in that respect, you know. But yeah, we finished up all right, and I thought, okay, this is pretty good. Now, there was a block that I would do always thank for me becoming a referee. It was my mentor. The name was Roger Lamb.
Uh-huh.
Roger Lamb was a very good friend.
A gentleman.
Was he a referee, and obviously?
He was a referee.
Yeah,
it was
yeah.
A,
yeah he was. Very was good
a
referee.
Very good referee. He actually, what he actually gave us to do, it was the referee's coach.
He was the coach of the referees.
The coach referees. He said, okay, you get a piece of paper and you go beside the goal and have a look and tell me the good things, the good points of the referee and what have you learned of it. And on the second half, you go on the other side and you check the linesman. So you go there, yes, he did this and that. He said, there's two ways of learning in this game then. One is what not to do. So you have a look at that and you say what you learn out of it and you should take it to you.
So the critique.
And it was really something that Roger Lamb was just a nice man. Anyway, had the game, he knew the game inside out, okay? There's a lot of other referees on those days that actually helped me a lot. There was a guy by the name, a Scottish international. His name was Robert Henderson.
Robert Henderson?
Yes, Robert Henderson. He came up, goes straight into the National League and... he became a secretary because, you know, the guy came up and watched me. And I was really, you know, this is exciting, you know. I mean, there's a guy here come to watch me. Now, you know, I really, he gave me a nice report. He said, you do this, you do that. He said, by the time, calm down. So you're too excited, you know, calm down. He said, it's all about the game. So it was all actually also nice about it. Coming into, as the years come up here and the levels went up, I went to the level one. I was successful to get through, and all of a sudden the Phillips League started.
The Phillips League started.
And I'm in it. I'm in as a reserve referee. And then the year later, the National League, and we've got teams coming up from interstate and everything else, and all of a sudden the game started. We are going up. We're going up. Murubak started. And Murubak was the team that actually started from Victoria.
Yes.
And everybody
fought. The first Victorian side to put its hand up to be a participant.
And I'm trying to think, Tom Bailey. Yes,
Tom Bailey.
Tom Bailey come up here and say, yeah, we started, you know. And all of a sudden, here we go. This is the start. This is the start of the game in this country here. And we move on beautifully.
I have a question from your wife.
Yes.
Did you get paid in those early days of the National Soccer League?
Well,
she's just checking the books.
But that's
she should know.
Yes, Claire, not just to go back on that with Claire. Now, my wife, she was my best support. She would do everything. You know, the reports. I mean, the language that I knew, it's Greek, and the lines that I write, it was Greek, not English. So she translated everything. She had to do all the reports and everything else. Some of the reports had to go into the hierarchies, you know. So you have to be.
So that's why his ranking rose so quickly.
Absolutely.
It was
absolutely.
Your wife's writing.
The English scribe at
home. Oh. And the other thing that she actually used, Claire, she used to do all my gear, you know.
Ironing.
My shirts, ironing. Yeah,
so you looked.
And I never checked the bag. Anyway, listen, this is a beautiful
story. You're going to get in trouble.
Claire, where are you? I'm in Sydney, and I look at my bag, no socks. The socks were in the dryer. They were never put in the bag.
Oh, so I come in.
Well, the Italians do it all the time without socks. What's the problem?
So, luckily enough, you know, I said, that's it. That's the last time she did the bag. After that, that's it.
Wow.
That's back into those days, George, really, the players and the referees, we were, we're nicked. You know, we used to actually, after the game, finish the game, you have a drink and have a chat about anything and everything. Always nice, always.
Is that the secret? Communication?
Communication, absolutely.
Why are we seeing them sort of isolated from the players? Now, is that what they're told to do?
Are we talking about now?
Yeah, we're talking about now.
I really don't know that, but let me put in that in respect that I've got a lot of people in the Facebook that actually get still with that and said, oh, what's different? Different. We talk. Absolutely. You know, sometimes like put a yellow card means nothing. Talk to the guy. Make him feel that, yes, he's welcome. Respect.
Or you're watching.
They didn't have respect written on the sleeves. It's the hate on the heart. You know, you earn your respect.
They have today all this communication. How did you work with your linesman?
That's with the linesman. Oh, I had, honestly, the linesman in the game, it was part of your game, right? And the instruction you give them, it was pretty much like relax about it. Keep your eyes on the ball. You know, if the ball moves, you know, you're actually part of the game. And you bring him to the game. Well, anything you see, by all means, give me that, all right?
Flag?
Flag.
Yep, let us know.
Yeah, and we have situations that the linesman, I've got a game in, and going back into probably Division One later in the days, and Gus and Jimmy is the coaches. Yeah, Gus McLeod
and Jimmy Rooney.
Okay, all right. Anyway,
a couple of footballing types.
Yeah. Anyway, the last one that I have, the two boys actually having a little cheap shots on him. All right. Anyway, he comes up and he says, come up quickly. You know, he said, listen, can you get him off my back, will you? I said, okay, son. Yeah, no worries. Yeah. Relax. Okay. Anyway, the next time the ball is out, close to them. I sat between them, and I said, gee, what a good bloody game, isn't it? Said, okay. I walked back, you know, and said, oh, thank you. He thought, I said to them, but it was part of the game. Rather than me tell them, oh, come on, leave the linesman alone. They knew that. They knew what I was going there for. So after that, they relaxed. He relaxed. We had a good game. Finished the game. Beautiful.
How long did it take you to go from the bottom leagues when you started, I think, Division 4?
Yes, level 4.
Level 4. How long did it take you to get to the top leagues and ultimately to be an award-winning referee in 1988?
Yeah, let me just say that it took 20 years to actually finish to the top. But no. In the first year, as a level 4, and through to inspectors, you get some markings, 7, 7.5, 8, all right? And
so you're all marked out of 10?
You're marked out of 10, okay. Yep. And you move on. So the next year, you know, the referees committee will say, okay, we'll give Dennis a Division 4 game or Division 3 game, okay? So the next year, you're going for exams, all right? And you go 2 years later from level 4, you become level 3. To get to level 1, which is the top bracket, it will take 3 more years. Okay. And that's an invitation.
So about 5 years to get to the top leagues, if you've continued to progress.
Right. Yeah. Progress, that's correct. And that's an invitation. And you're sitting, you've got three wise guys opposite there.
Three wise guys. Yeah, right. I was going to say, hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil.
We call them a panel.
I think most the question is, it's not about the loss of the game. It's all about control, you know, being able to sort of...
Is it more man management or people management?
Absolutely. George, look, respect you earn and respect you give. And those days in the NSL, we have some.
I refereed an under-12 game.
Oops.
Right? Yep.
Not recently.
And a long time ago. And I was 16 at the time. And the worst...
That's not recent.
The worst thing that happened were the parents... who threatened to break your arm and your leg and everything else. I'm thinking you wouldn't have had to worry about too many parents. You would have had to worry about everybody else.
The parent part, actually, George, I used to live in Nunawarring, and Nunawarring Club, it was the club that I used to actually go in on Sunday morning, taking the dog and I can watch the juniors. Anyway, this block here, all right, it was actually telling the kid the wrong things, right? So I interrupted, I said, mate, I said, he's got a coach. He told me where to go. I said, mate, I said, you're giving the kid the, you know, the parents always try to actually encourage their kids to a point, you know, like telling the wrong thing. They're coaches for that. And up to this day here today, you know, parents are, love the kids to make it top, and they will do anything to do that. And I'm one to actually encourage that. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Ron Sinclair says, I always enjoyed being refereed by Dennis. He was enthralled by my stories of dad refereeing in Papua New Guinea, where we sometimes left games under a hail of arrows and spears, or when we left the Germania Club in Port Moresby in an armoured personnel carrier.
Yes, I know. He told me that.
Did you have exciting exit plans if games didn't work out the way you wanted?
Funny you say that.
Funny you say that. We're terrified.
There's a story here. And,
yes,
I'm
let's hear
to,
it.
I'm
this is the time that. For that story right
yeah.
now.
Okay.
You go for it.
I'm at Preston, and I've got Preston and South Melbourne.
Hello. Hello, this is the Preston Lions against South Melbourne. What year are we talking?
Probably 87, 88.
1987, 88. Yeah, okay, and we're playing Middle Park?
Connor Reserve.
This is really a beauty, that's funny.
Okay.
Why did they send a Greek referee to do a Preston South
He was
Melbourne?
Australian. What local are you talking
knowledge.
About?
Oh, local
just
knowledge.
The question.
Local knowledge.
I asked a question. Local knowledge. I said, okay.
So you knew yourself that was a strange that
Hang
was,
on.
Well, that was, allocation.
Yeah, I love yeah, this. I love yeah. this. Local knowledge. He yeah. knows enough well, to not, stay away from upsetting the Preston fans and knew way too much to upset the South Melbourne fans. How did it go? Did the game finish?
There's a knock on the door. And there's the sergeant.
This is before the game.
This is before the game.
Before the game.
All right.
Knock on the door. All right. Okay. And there's a sergeant of Reservoir Police. Reservoir Police.
Not a good start to the game.
No, said, it's yeah, not a good start.
Well, the game hasn't started yet. That's about half an hour before the game on. He said, oh, who's the referee? I said, Dennis Vecinos. He said, oh, look, I need to speak to you in private. I said, oh, is it about the game? He said, yes. I said, look, Colin Tuffield was my inspector. And he, my linesman, he was... I was thinking of it. The guy from Mornington, George Blackie.
Okay.
George Blackie, because I bring George into the game here. And he said, look, we had a phone call, he said, and we're treating that as important. I said, okay. I said, look.
There was a threat.
It was a threat. Like, they didn't like me to be the referee.
Oh, so there had been a protest.
It was a protest. That was actually not the club. The club, absolutely not.
No problems at all. But there were fans who wanted to make some noise.
That's right. Yeah.
Fans are still doing it.
He said,
it's called investment.
Policeman said, look, he said, what I would like you to do, he said, at halftime, he said, don't worry about your linesman. It will come up in the center, and I have two boys on the top, two on the bottom, and bring you in. Up to halftime, a couple of yellow cards, nothing happened, okay? Second half. The game is tough. The game is really hard. You know, when I say physical, going for the ball, getting the player, and, you know.
Taking his knee off.
Well, anyway, I said to the boys, the linesman, I said, listen, anything's going to happen, it's going to happen now. 2-1, Preston at halftime. 2-1, okay? 2-1. Anyway, I said, keep your eyes on the ball in the back. Anyway, I look at that, and Philip Trianidis got the ball. And I look back, and it's Kasafel in the back. George McMillan was chased by the players. Alan Davidson is on the floor, you know, spitting teeth.
Blood.
Yeah. Anyway, I separate them and all that. George Blackie, flag across the chest. I want to speak to you then. Coming in, you know, going backwards, so I keep my eyes on the boys. He said, John McMillan, he said, King hit Alan Davidson. Davidson. He said, violent contact, which
means straight red?
Straight red. Now, here
oh
I
dear.
Am. I got no other. My hands are tight.
Your hands are tight.
Anyway, yeah. I call over, and I go back to Sir George on recommendation of my last man. He said, violent contact, red card. And I said, I would suggest for you to go quietly. Quietly? You're kidding me? It was a bit of a froth from the lips that... George would never hold back, all right? And
George was
anyway,
a hard man.
George, yes. And anyway, the game goes on. The score changes a little bit, and South Melbourne goes ahead. There's another player there. Oh, Gordon Flavella. Gordon Flavella, another hard player.
No, another Gordon, hard nut.
And very hard player, mate. He's already on a yellow card, okay? And he goes up and he takes the guy.
Takes him out.
Serious foul play. No ifs, no buts about it, you know. Okay. At that time, the game is really, really getting hot. Right?
Okay, so anyway, now this is the second yellow, huh?
That's not a yellow.
Straight
that's
red. Red?
That's red. That's serious foul play. I mean, it, no intention to play the ball. Absolutely. I mean, give me the benefit of a doubt. No benefit of a doubt. Yeah, right. So, red card. Now, the cop was right on it. The policeman was right on it. We come up here, you know, the game finished 4-2 South Melbourne.
4-2 South Melbourne.
Play with nine players. Anyway, come in here, come into the... It's absolutely chaos as far as the stands concerned.
I'm thinking, are you in the dressing room at the moment?
I'm in the dressing room. The policeman came in with the two boys, all right? He brings some beers. He says, sit down here, couple of souvlakis. Anyway, so listen, what are you leaving?
You're not leaving tonight.
Exactly. No, he says we're gonna sit down here for a little while then. Okay. I said, listen, what do you leave? I said, Forest Hill. I said, I'll have one of my boys to escort you at Hohenberg. And good luck.
Where was Claire?
Claire was at home, spitting dead. Oh, my God.
Because she's listening, huh?
Yeah, she's listening. That was the match of the day.
Match of the day.
Yeah. Anyway, this is the funny part. I go home and I'm really a bit upset about, you know, you don't like finishing like that in the game. But if I say the game was quelling up, you know, like I don't know what happened in that particular game prior, you know, South Melbourne. I don't know. But obviously, they're taking sometimes, and I'm talking players, we take the game to their hands, you know, do whatever they can. Anyway.
Push you as far as they could.
Yes. Anyway, 3 weeks later, Dennis appointment on a reserve, Preston. Okay? 3 weeks later.
Back to the scene of the crime.
First person to say, that's the first game back for George. And I give the guy full marks. I walk into the ground. He shook my hand and wished me well. And the game went from there, absolutely not an issue, not a problem at all. You know, move on. And, apparently there was some bonus on the game. There was some bonus for the winners. Yes, so that's...
Dennis, what were the hardest games? What were the hardest games to referee?
One game I was given, George Wallace rings me up and he said, I've got a tough one for you, Dan. I said, okay. It's Cypriots and they were playing Turks.
And right. That's a nice game.
Yeah. And that was in somewhere in Western. I said, okay. He said, look, see how you go. Anyway, I got there, mate. They were fighting. Before the game, they were fighting. I thought, my God. Anyway, I'm going to the talk to the boys. I said, listen, guys, you know, I said, anybody that does anything wrong here, okay, I've got from good cause that he won't be playing soccer again. So what do you mean? I said, if you create issues on the ground and you'll be sent off, he said, you will not be playing for a little while. I was just getting my referee. I just went around, did this or that, yeah. I'm out here. Dr. Masuvlak, and I went home. That was it.
Fantastic.
But you had set the scene.
You'd gone in, and you didn't read the riot act, but as G2 knew so often, when his temper control, his impulse control had its moments. Do you remember refereeing any games that George was involved in?
I've never given a yellow card. I don't know why.
Never given him a yellow card.
We need to have a chat. I was a very good referee, George. I was that 4 foot little Italian bloke. I refereed a lot of the games I played in, but I refereed them well, and I made the ref look good. Yeah.
One thing I'll tell you, another person that I owe a lot and that changed my style of playing, that was a guy by the name Wally Bates.
Wally Bates.
Tell us about Wally and why.
Wally Bates, he was the chairman of the board, and also he was the...
I thought Frank Sinatra was the chairman of the board.
He was the chairman of the board. He was one of the inspectors, and his word, it was...
His kept, bond, eh?
His word was a lot of waiting. Sittler Reserve, and I've got a tight game. Now, the JUST had a lot of players, JUST, Scottish players, Greek players, Criaris and all that. And on the other side, you have a lot of Scottish players. I mean, really hard game. Now, I went to the game, and before I know, it's a yellow card within 5 minutes. Boom.
Hang on a minute. You're the one with the yellow cards. I mean, you need to know where they were going.
But hold on a minute. You know, it's early in my career. I'm talking about early in my career in the National League, okay? First yellow card, second yellow card, you know. I finished four yellow cards, and I'm coming there. I'm in no man's land. I'm coming in there, inside the dream. Wally, come here, Dan. he taking me into the dressing room, okay, in there. Yeah.
So this is halftime.
Halftime, yeah. He said, we're not doing too well here, mate. I said, what's going on? He said, look, you know, how about you leave this card behind here and go and talk to them?
Uh-huh.
He said, you've got four players there on a yellow card, okay?
Yeah.
And to be your respect, he said, that there were fouls. There were fouls, you know, that you can talk to them. I said, you go up and keep those four players back for the game, you know? I said, you keep them on. I said, I can't leave my cards here. He said, it's a matter of speaking. I said, but you go there, mate, he said, and talk to them.
Okay.
And he changed my...
So he was the one that put you on that track, the right track to referee.
On the track. As you said, you earn respect on the park. And at that time, I said, four yellow cards in 5 minutes. Fellow just...
Wow.
Yeah. Anyway, I finished up the game, and I got a very good mark from him, and I, you know, move on from there. But
So he kept all your cards from that day on?
No cards on the second half. Absolutely no cards. But I did have them with me. I mean, you can't go without the yellow cards.
That's fantastic.
That was pretty good. And again, the players' respect. We finish up the game. We go into the club room, and you get a beer, you get a drink. If there was any issues, you know, you wouldn't go back. Seriously. Just go home.
Yeah, you don't want to antagonize people.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
So, yeah. But you would have stayed for beers. Generally, that would have been a common thing for you, wouldn't it be? To stay back and communicate with the players.
Absolutely. Well, you had to hydrate.
Yeah. No, that's, yeah.
Referees need hydration. Dennis Voutsinas is our pioneer, the very first one for 2019. We're going to take a break. When we come back, G2 has some serious questions that he has to address.
Okay.
And I hope you're up for it, Dennis.
Oh, well, I'll give it my best shot. So.
Put your cards back in your pocket.
Yes, no worries.
Butzianis, no call! Score! Salamini for Cole. Cole on the run. Shoots. 2-0. Lazanowski with the free kick. Launches a rocket! Trimboli, what vision! Marth blasts. Yes, it's it! Miljevic.
Stop it up. Beautiful ball.
Here's Mazanic.
The Pioneers with George Danikian and George Kotsanis on FNR, Football Nation Radio.
Welcome back to the Pioneers on a Thursday night, G1 and G2, and our special guest, Dennis Voutsinas. Dennis, one of our previous guests, the great man JD, John Dimpsis, he played a big part in your refereeing career. He's a mate, obviously, but he also played a part. Tell us what part JD played.
Okay. JD was the referee's mate, and always there for us, you know, from through the soccer house and all that. And when my FIFA recommendation it was accepted, Johnny went down to Vasilianis and organized the restaurant, and he had my family, all my friends. It was a surprise. I walked there with Claire, and the next thing I know, surprise. And John and I, we go a long way. Even sometimes I did Victoria Games, Mildura or whatever it is. We were together in everyone's form. One of the nicest bloke, a gentleman.
The nicest bloke.
One of the nicest bloke, and a gentleman. And I owe him a lot. I really do.
Look, he was a man who understood the game, understood men, also understood how clubs worked. And that's why I think he went the extra yard.
Yes.
Because he understood the challenges that faced referees of all types.
Absolutely.
And George and I talk about it, and we have done over the last year. We've had so many pioneers come in. And you've heard, almost to a man and a woman, they've talked about how many fantastic referees you had at that time. And the thing that keeps coming back is the fact that you spoke to them. And the fact that you were prepared to talk to them, to have a bit of fun, to chide them, you know, to stick your elbow into their sides and say, come on, wake up to yourself. We've got a game to play. I think that went a long way to making the game not only more exciting,
yes,
but we saw a real team. That is the linesmen and the referees doing their job.
Yes.
And they did it, for me, without malice. Okay. There was no, you never wanted to control a contest. You never wanted to make an outcome, affect an outcome, did you?
No, with the linesmen and the referees, every year we started, we had new directives.
Yep.
So we had, during the year, we had people like...
You mean they even did it in those days too, did they?
Yeah, we had people like...
Ken Aston, G2.
A referee from UK, Jack Taylor, come up here and give us all the directives.
Did you ever have Tony Boscovich come down?
Absolutely. And, you know, I've got to tell you something about Tony, by the way. Tony would come up very early, and little Tony, and he would sleep on the bench. Because he was tired about but what a good referee he was. Absolutely. Tony was a bloody good referee.
He was a conductor.
Was it really?
No, a conductor. As a referee, he was, you know, like his hands and his signals. He really carried the part.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
Napoleon.
the different...
As you wish.
Yeah.
The referees, they were different characters, you know, a different way of approach to the game. You know, you have Richard Lorenz, you know. You had...
Roger Lamb, you said earlier.
Roger Lamb. We had the lockers, like Dave Medlin. It's when I arrived in this country, Dave Medlin, he was the referee. That was actually clapped off the ground.
On
and off the ground. He used to wear his socks right. You know, the white part of the socks were pretty close up to his ankle because it was a different... The players would respect that. And I tell you what, back to the players of the old days, it was a guy, Jeff, okay, I'm trying to think of his name here in a minute.
Okay.
Harrison. Harrison, he was a policeman in the Air Force and a very good friend, a very good man. Jimmy Miller was playing for Juventus number 9. I'm on his line for him, okay? Anyway, Jimmy comes up to toss the coin, and Jeff's giving me a yellow card. And I said, "What's that?" He said, "I just saved me of doing it later on." I swear to God, you know, that's the yellow card. And you saved me. But Jimmy actually became a referee later on in his years.
Yeah. Let's do word association, right? George and I have done this over the years with some of the players, and we've mentioned a name. We want to hear what you think of them or how they treated you as a referee. We heard, of course, about Ulysses Kokkinos. He just loved to kiss you. Yes. That was exciting.
He's a lovable character, and he's got plenty of love to give.
Were there people who you knew were going to be trouble?
Okay, every club will have a hard man. Every club.
An alpha male.
Yes, it will have a hard man. And the fact is that if you look after that man, he will referee the game for you. You know, if you protect him, okay?
Now, protect him.
That's a big word. You know, like sometimes players will take a cheap shot.
Uh-huh.
So they react and get a card, all right? Now, this guy here, all right, I would say, you're taking on a big man. and you will hear that, you see, taking the big man. Yeah, that's right. And I would go back to him and say, okay, it's all fixed up. So this big players, the hard players, they were in for the club. Absolutely. They will give the bodies on the ground. So you have to look after them. You look after them, you have a good game. Yep.
Gary Cole, Jimmy Tansey, Rooney, Jeff Olver, were they troublemakers?
No way.
Heidelberg boys, they're not troublemakers. What are you trying to do?
Did you have fun with the players you mentioned? We're talking about special players.
Absolutely. They all play for Australia. They're all head gifted. They're gifted with finesse, control, everything else, and most of all,
good guys.
Nice human beings.
What about some of the troublemakers? And there were a few. A couple of outlaws. Tell us about the outlaws. Because everyone loves a story about outlaws. Look, I mean, Australia's number one outlaw is Ned Kelly. Did you have any Ned Kellys in the NSL?
He mentioned two or three already.
I know he mentioned two or three, but I want some more.
You won't get many because I said you were in the game.
You sent them the red cards, did you?
To get a red card from me, you really have to be a son of a gun.
Honestly, you really.
I don't know where he was going really, with that for a minute.
Honestly.
Oh, dear.
You really have to try very hard. And,
you got to earn it, right?
Absolutely, yeah. Aki Kotsomihalis. Now, Aki is a very good friend of mine, and his father, he was a FIFA referee from Greece, and we really got a nice get-together about it. Anyway, Aki played for Green Gully, and...
Yes, he did.
Yeah, yes, he did, yes. And he came up for a tackle, and he missed out, and I missed the tackle. I talked to him, okay.
You're a bit Aussie.
The second one, coming up here on that here. Another one, I said, oh, my God. He said...
Again.
The game finished up. I talked to him again. Second time, all right? Okay. And he said, oh, you didn't book me after the game. I said, no, I know your dad.
Tell me, Dennis, did the crowd, and there were big crowds that you refereed in front of, did they affect any of your decision-making?
No.
Did you hear them?
Absolutely
not. Did you hear them?
Okay. If you hear them, you're not in the game.
Okay.
Your job,
in the moment.
Absolutely. Your job is to control the game to best your ability, make sure the game comes into the way you want it, deal what you have to deal with, okay? If it's the coaches. Now, let's talk about the coaches, okay? The coach's got a job to do. They're my mates. Their job depends on what I do and vice versa.
You've got responsibility, right?
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely.
And you take your job seriously.
You look after their boys, they look after you. And you've got the defensive side that wants to put a wall in. They want 10 seconds extra to do that, okay? And you've got the other coach who wants to take the free kick quickly. So you've got a situation there, all right? Oh, we want to take it quickly, okay? So when the player comes in, he said, do you want to take it quickly? Yes, please. So I blew the whistle. What? Hold on a minute. They're still making the wall. But they were adjusted to it. You know, they went, okay.
So you gave them enough rope.
Enough rope to hang themselves sometimes. Because honestly, and I've got some very good coaches that actually be still friends and all that.
Now, if my memory serves me correctly, I've had the good fortune to meet your gorgeous daughter.
Yes.
And I've met your son-in-law.
Oh!
Lucky. Lucky. Who tells me that he was not so lucky because he's only got two yellow cards in his life. And you gave them both times.
Oh, George, you picked up a point here. My God. Now, Ryan.
Good. Am I right?
Absolutely. You're absolutely right. Let me tell you about this story. This is a really beauty on this one here. Ryan comes home. He said, oh, Dad, he said, I met a very nice man that I'm very keen on. And, I said, okay. He said, Daddy's he's playing soccer. You must know him. I said, what's his name, sweetheart? Now, as you know, I refereed National League, and very rarely do I go and do First Division.
Correct.
Now, lucky play for Richmond, Alemania.
Yep.
All right? An attacking player, good player, but a bit of attitude. All right?
I like that.
So a bit of a talker, okay? Mm, okay.
Chatting.
Anyway, I give him the free kick, all right? Okay, mm-hmm. That's fine. And he still complained. I said, listen, mate, okay. Next, no, offside. Now, that's second time. I said, oh, mate, you interfere with my game there, okay? So he comes to yellow card. He comes to yellow card. Now, why do I remember that? Because the second week, I don't usually do the same team
2 weeks in a row.
Two weeks in a row.
No way. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Now, he still hadn't come home to your house, had he?
No.
So he's still just a player.
That's right. Yeah.
Just all right. Okay. This is getting intriguing. Okay. Yeah.
On second week, I get a phone call from George. I said, the referee of the game, I've got the National League on Sunday.
Yep.
Free on Saturday.
Can you pick that up?
Can you pick it up?
Yeah.
Okay.
No problem.
Here comes Lucky again.
He's not so lucky.
He hasn't learned.
He hasn't learned his lesson. He's still chirpy.
So give him another yellow card. That's fine. That's two yellow cards he got.
Wow.
That's it. Finish.
That's his whole life right there.
That's it. Yeah. No, Lucky's a great guy, and I love the guy. I love the guy as my son. I really mean that.
He is your son.
He's my son. He's the son I never had.
Okay. Is he still lippy, though?
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, it gets better.
No, it gets better.
Okay. Because I've heard what happened when he came to introduce himself to take your daughter out.
That's right. He did.
For
he
a
did.
Date.
He did.
And you answered the door.
That's right. And yes, remember the guy said, Mr. Buccino said, okay, listen, I said, you behave yourself here. Okay. Anyway, no yellow card on that.
Just a warning.
Lucky and Rania went along together, and the wedding came along.
It was
right?
Beautiful, yeah.
And whatever I said to you now, I said that at the wedding, okay? And it was actually his turn to actually
returned the compliment.
Returned the compliment.
Yes.
And he said,
speak about his father-in-law.
I hear what my father-in-law said. And I'm taking it, he said, but I've got something else for him. So he takes the red card out. He said,
he gave you a red card.
A red card, he said, and taking your daughter.
There you go. See?
So that's
fantastic.
Much,
yeah, well, I've met them. They were guests of ours in the Chairman's Club at Melbourne City. Yeah. And Rania came up and she said to me, "You might know my father." And I said, "Who's your father?" And there you go. And that's I pick. And I met Lucky within 30 seconds and heard the entire story. Yeah. It was fantastic.
Absolutely beautiful.
No, it's just great.
I bet you did. Let's go word association.
Yes.
Important one.
Yes.
Uh-oh.
Chris Bambridge.
Chris Bambridge, we Chris and I, being a FIFA referees, we used to go into clubs and when we had directives, you know, the things Jen said, we went to the clubs here and we actually went in and have a training session. We went and ran with the boys and after that we had a shower, come back here. All the boys sat down, all right, and we'd actually tell them exactly what we're going to do and this is what we're going to do. We're going to do this, we're going to do that, all right, and you guys enjoying the game. And we did that every year in the start of the season. We go up to different clubs. I think Polonia was one. I think Oakley was another one. I can't sort of...
But you stayed away from South Melbourne and you stayed away from Preston.
We usually pretty much like Victoria-based clubs.
Okay.
And that was pretty good. And it was also respect that. When you go back to the game and you already know the boys, it's a different feeling. And I've got to tell you one more before the clock strikes
midnight. Yes.
One of my first games they gave me Richmond Olympic to referee.
My first
club. Oh my God! I had a ball. Yeah. I had a ball.
Did you throw any yellow cards out?
I hit them on the head. I smack them on every time. It's not giving me a chance. Get out of there.
Physical abuse.
Physical abuse. And he was the referee of the game. George Kickers, he was my mate in there. And we had a run. Mate said, we had a ball here. I can't remember the score, but I finished up going back and I had a couple of drinks more than I used to. But it was good, yeah.
How would you cope with VAR?
Now, that is a very touchy subject there, George.
Touchy?
Very touchy. Oh. Look, progress. Now, this is the progress of the our game, and we need VAR as long as policied correctly.
We need to implement.
Implement, absolutely. Need to implement. I'm going back into last year's grand final, you know, where you tell Eric Marek that what do you think of VAR? And I think the question is, they broke down at the wrong time.
Correct. There should have been a backup. That was terrible.
Yes, it's progress. Yeah. It's good. It's good. As long as you're properly. And as a referee, I had that in my days. And I used to actually be able to, yeah.
Dennis, you open up an interesting perspective. When the game was first started 100 years ago, the referees controlled the entire game.
Yes.
They were the only viewpoint that was worth looking at. There were no replays because we didn't have cameras, yeah?
Sure.
And radio was still in its infancy and they were still learning to tell the story. So now we have 55 million cameras. Yes. We have super HD and there's no way you can hide anything that goes on in the game. So the referees have been emasculated. In other words, the power of the control of the referee has been taken away slowly, 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 whether they like to admit it or not. Now they're asking the referee to abide by or support another video assistant on the sidelines who will work with them to arrive at the right result. The games are so important today.
The game is
the
important.
Money is huge.
Absolutely. George.
We saw a World Cup decided... On a VAR.
Definitely. The VAR is here to stay. And as I said to you, if implemented properly, use that, it would be for the best of the game. Absolutely.
How do you think G2 would have gone with VAR in his day? Do you think he would have got finished the game? Would he have finished the game or would he have got left half time?
I would tell you the plug before the game at every game.
The VAR we used to have here, you know, the VAR was you picking up the whistle.
That's
from,
right.
From the side till you come to your lips.
And that's it.
It takes about
three
hundredth of a second. Mm. And that's the time you have to see when the ball it was taken or was the player was taken.
All right. Players make mistakes.
Yes.
Coaches make mistakes. Yes. Referees make mistakes.
Absolutely.
How did you feel when you made a mistake?
You can't go up and...
No. You can't square it.
If you make a mistake, you live with it. You live with it, okay? And you say, okay, I've learned something, okay? Move on. But yes, mistakes were made, but they were honest mistakes, George. Never, ever. This block here, if I made a mistake, you can't change it.
No.
All right? But it was always honest mistake. I slept well at night because I didn't worry about anything else. Yeah.
As your experience improved,
yes.
Did you take longer to make those tough decisions?
Actually, not really. No.
I thought you might have given yourself a millisecond to think about it. Like you use a second filter.
Depends who with the player.
Ulysses Kokkinos Red.
That's it. Yes, red with the players. I met a hell of a lot of players and met a lot of friends. And up to this day, today here, someone says, oh, geez, I enjoyed your game and I enjoyed you refereeing us. And I said, oh, thank you. It's part and parcel of the National League. And I'm so happy to tell you that the years of National League is something that I always treasure. The players that are referee, the coaches, the crowd, it was something that really and truly, you'll never get that level again.
Absolutely. Grand final? Grand finals?
Well, one of your regrets, tell us one of those regrets.
Pilot strike in 1989.
Oh, yes. I was involved in some of that too. I had to fly on smaller aircraft to get where I was going.
I've been appointed referee to do the National League Grand Final.
And you couldn't go.
I'll tell you the story. It's Adelaide City and Olympic.
Oh, yeah.
Sydney Olympic. The plane supposed to leave at 10 o'clock. At 12 o'clock, I'm still there. 1 o'clock, I'm still there. So anyway, they pushed me into and I'm flying over high in my stadium. And they're lining up for the national anthem. Oh. I'm going to the ground, and Don Campbell happened to be on the ground. Yeah, good on you, Don. And happened to have his boots.
Boots and socks. And his socks.
And his socks. My socks. Yeah. And he come up and he's taking the game. So I go in, and I have time, and he said, you can't take the game now, Dan, don't you? I said, that's the one regret that I have, that I missed out on doing that game, and,
As a FIFA referee, and you got a few internationals.
Yes, sir.
You got one special one. Tell us about the special
one. Yeah, I was appointed. England has always been one of the top countries in the world game, and I was appointed to actually travel to New Zealand and referee them against the New Zealand All Whites. I finished up traveling, going to. Auckland, Mount Smart Stadium, 25,000 people.
Yeah,
my God,
Mount Smart.
What am I doing here? Yes, good. And the players like Lineker and
Gary Lineker. Gary Lineker, fantastic.
I've got to tell you about
Spurs
Gary.
Man, ex Leicester boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now during the game, couple of little controversies. Oh yes, and he said, "Dennis, the rules a little bit. The laws of the game be different in Australia."
But politely spoken.
Politely.
I said,
he is a pundit after all.
Mr. Lineker, I said, not really. I said, but let's go. Let's move on with the game. Yeah, really, I have enjoyed the game of soccer, football, and I met some nice people, and I'll be always thankful for that. I really am.
What about George Gillespie? What about George Gillespie? What did you do to him?
Oh, poor Georgie. On the game, it's Preston and versus St. George, and the game moved on. And you got to sort of write the numbers down or the names, and I put number 2. I sort of put it on the right side, which was St. George Osea. I put it on the left side. Anyway, during the second half, Georgie goes for a tackle. He missed the ball. He takes the player, yellow card. I open up my book. I already booked him. So I put yellow, red.
Oh.
Georgie is on his knees. He's on his knees. Dennis, please have a look at your linesman. And I think Michael Gogg was the linesman, if I can
Superman.
Remember correctly. Superman, yeah.
Clark Kent.
And he's got a big smile in his face. Moving his head. No.
You got the wrong player.
Anyway, I put the card back and I gave him the... my next game, I think, was either
in Shepparton or Ballarat. I'm not quite sure, but I think that my next game was up in the bush.
You got sent to Siberia, didn't you?
No, by God, yeah. But you took it on. Yes, I took it on.
But you just gave us a clue as to how important processes are.
Yeah.
Especially for a referee. You need to know where everything is done in a particular way, because when the going gets tough, that's what you resort to. Yeah. Whatever's there on the book, on the pad.
Absolutely, yeah. And I've learned from that. The other one that actually I would tell you before we go for 1 minute, okay?
Yep.
I'm on the game Adelaide City in the play up here, Leichhardt. Oh. And I've got my watch on the left, which has Melbourne time.
Yes.
And I watch my side, which checks the stopwatch. The ball hits the stopwatch and bang. Bigger. Blank.
Gone.
Blank. Gone. On my other one, I've got Melbourne time. So I'm looking at my linesman coming up to an end, you know, and usually we have a sign. You know, you get you put your hands across your chest,
yep,
and you put figures.
Yes.
And figures say 2, 3,
yeah,
four.
Yeah, yeah.
Now it gives me the five there, and I thought the game is over. So I pull it another 3 minutes, all right, and I blow the whistle. I'm 3 minutes short.
Appiah
Leichhardt leading 1-0. And the players run into the dressing room. So here he comes here, and I think Rasic was the...
Rale Rasic.
It was...
Yeah, yeah.
He said, bring him out. Anyway, I come in.
Bring them out?
Yes, bring them out. Anyway, actually, not really. He didn't say that, but I had to go up and bring him out. He didn't want to come out. I said, I can tell you that right now. If you don't come in, you forfeit the game. Oh, yes, you couldn't come out quick enough, all right?
Yeah.
The 5 minutes that I played, it was the hardest 5 minutes in my referee career. I disallow a goal for Adelaide City. Okay.
Ouch.
Okay. Ouch, wow. Yeah. Adelaide. Yeah. We get disallowed, and not a very happy people there, mate. So I finished up coming back, and I thought, ouch, you know. And at the same day, Gary Powell had actually, at the same day, he had a 3 minute short on his game. How coincidence is that?
So it was happening. Right around the it's whatever you guys had for breakfast.
Yeah.
Now look, for a young man out of Piraeus,
yes,
to travel to the other end of the world,
yes,
meet Claire,
yes,
and have the most wonderful time, yes, refereeing your way through what were some fantastic contests in the old NSL, you're a treat, and we congratulate you.
I thank you.
Thank you so much, Dennis.
I thank you.
And Salamini for Cole. Cole on the run. Shoots. 2-0. Lazanowski with the free kick. Launches a rocket. Trimboli. What vision. Math blasts. Yes. That's it. Miljevic.
Beautiful ball.
Here's Bozanic. They haven't. They might have won it.
The Pioneers with George Danikian and George Kotsanis on FNR, Football Nation Radio.